If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Romans. I would like to read from Romans chapter 9. And I encourage everybody to please get a copy of a Bible that is there in the pews. If you don't have your own Bible, please get a Bible and follow along as we try to read from God's holy word. We'll begin reading in Romans chapter 9. Read verses 9 through 21. Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 9, reading through verse 21. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God. Lord, we're thankful that we know that you're all wise and you're all powerful, and we know that you're the one that spoke this world into existence and you're the one that'll bring it to a close. And we're amazed that you would love us. We're thankful that you do love us, and we thank thee for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that you care about all of our burdens and problems, and you know about every burden and heart that's troubled this day. And we pray, Lord, that you would help and bless, not according to what we deserve, but according to thy mercy and thy grace. We ask you, Lord, to be with all of thy children the world over. We know there are many with very special problems and burdens, and we pray that you would bless those who have lost loved ones. We pray that you would bless the Stevie family and the loss of their 13-year-old child, and you'll bless all the others that have lost loved ones. We pray that you would bless those that are sick and afflicted, those that are on their deathbeds. We pray that you would give them a sweet hour to depart from this life, that you would comfort them and their families, and that you would help all of thy people this day as we've assembled together to try to worship thee, that you would help us to concentrate on thee and thy word. We know that Satan is always trying to work to cause our minds to wander away from the truth of thy word. So we pray, Lord, that you would draw in our wandering minds and hearts and help us to center our affections completely upon thee and thy holy word. We pray that thou would teach us from thy word, that you would instruct us, and that you would help us to see and understand the truth, and that we would be doers of thy word and not hearers only. We do beg you, Lord, to bless our nation and all those in authority over us, that you would guide and direct in all the elections that take place, that you would give us godly leaders. We pray that you would bless us, Lord, to have wisdom, to know the ones that you would have to choose, and that you would work in miraculous ways to give us a godly leader. And again, Lord, we pray that you would bless all of our soldiers, you'd watch over and protect them, return them home safely, bless them to be successful in all that they do. Be with us now in this hour. Help us as thou alone art able. We pray that you would lift us up, plant our feet on heaven's table land, bless us to feed from thy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin now. And begin now in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 9. The Word of God says, "For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?" Have you ever thought or said there was unrighteousness with God? Have you ever been angry with God? Have you ever had something happen in your life that you just didn't understand why it was happening, and you began to question God? And that's what Paul is asking in this verse when he says in verse 14, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Now listen carefully to the 20th verse. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? If correctly read, that's Romans chapter 9, verses 9 through 21. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is found in the 20th verse, where the question is asked and declared, nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? The question is asked, who are you to reply against God? Who are you to argue with God? What do you think it is? What causes us sometimes to argue with God? If something terrible were to happen in your life, and this is common, it's natural that when something horrible happens, that people begin to question God. If you've never questioned God, if you've never wondered why did this happen, you probably have not had major catastrophes in your life. But sometimes we have things that happen in our lives that we do not understand. God does not cause all of those things. But if God does bring about something in our life and we don't understand it, we'd better not argue with God. What causes us to argue with God? I think there are two main reasons that would cause us to argue with God. Well, let me back up just a little bit and ask you this question. Of those of you in this congregation, how many of you feel like that probably you never argued with your parents? Hold up your hand if you think you probably never argued with your parents. Okay, Brother David? Is he the only one? I don't remember. How many of you think there's been less than 5 times you ever argued with your parents? Okay, many more hands are going up now. And I think there's a reason that there are very few times that I only remember arguing with my daddy one time. It was a tragic mistake that I made. It was something that I learned, and though I was 18 years old and outweighed him by 100 pounds and played football and was very strong and lifted weights, I found out that a child does not talk back to their parents. You do not argue with your parents. A parent says something, you do what the parent says. That's the way it used to be. That's the way most of us who are 50 years of age and older, that's the way we were raised. You do not question your parents. You do not ask why. The parent says do something and you do it. Is that the way you were raised, Brother David? You don't ask why. I don't ever remember asking why. You don't say why. That's a fundamental teaching, brethren, that I think we have lost sight of, is that not only do we not ask why of our parents, we are not to question and argue with God. There is a general lack of respect of authority. And I think that the lack of respect of authority, whether it's in the home or whether it's in the church or whether it's in our government, do you know why our prisons are overflowing today? It's because people have been raised in homes where they do not respect authority. They do not realize that there are people over them that are wiser than them and that are smarter than them, and that they are subject to those powers that are over them. And unless that is instilled in your children, and that's a part of your family's lives, you're going to find that your children will always be questioning not only other authorities, they will eventually question and argue with the supreme authority, they will argue with God. However, if you bring up a child in the way he should go, and that child learns you do not question your parents, You do not argue with your parents. There are people that are over you and you do what they say without question. They will make good employees. They will make good citizens. And they will make outstanding Christians as they grow and understand God is to be honored and obeyed regardless of what He says. And God is to be believed no matter what He says. And that's what this whole passage in Romans 9 is talking about. Is Romans 9 is talking about some doctrines like election and things like that that are very difficult for us to understand. That Jacob and Esau were identical twins. And yet the Scripture says that before they were ever born, neither had they done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was declared the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now what are you going to say to that? I'm talking about naturally, what's your response to that? What is your natural response to that? Brother John, what's your... That's not fair. How many of you think that? How many of you feel? That has to be. I mean, that's our natural reason. That's not fair. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit in with what we think. Well, I'll tell you, God knew that we would say that's not fair because He immediately follows after He says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He immediately follows that with saying, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Are you going to say that God is unrighteous because He does something that you don't like or that you don't think is fair? Why would you ever do that? It's because you think you're as wise as God is. It's because you do not understand how wise God is and you do not understand the depravity of man. I need to understand that God is far superior to anything I can comprehend. I can't comprehend how great God is. We sang that song this morning, How Great Thou Art. Well, even though I sing that song and believe every word of it, I'm telling you, brethren, I don't know how great God is. I can't comprehend how great He is. I don't know how strong He is. I don't know how wise He is. I can't comprehend perfection. I can't comprehend purity and holiness like God is. But I know that God is real, and I know that God is perfect, and I know God is all wise. And knowing that God is all wise, and knowing what I am helps me shut my mouth and believe what God says. If God says something, you know, we used to have some members here that had a sign on the front of their car that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And that was a pretty good sign until I saw somebody that had another sign and it said, God said it, that settles it. You understand? Is there a difference in those two signs? One is, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. The other one just said, God said it, that settles it. Whatever God says is right and good, that settles it. Do you know why I do not argue with what God's Word has to say about homosexuality? Do you know why I don't argue with that? It's because God said it, that settles it. Do you know why I don't argue with God about many other things that are very controversial today? You know why I don't argue those things? It's because God said it, and that settles it. What God says is right. What God says is good. What God does is good. Therefore, you should not argue with God. You should not argue with what God says, and you should not argue with what God does.
Amen.
Is that hard? Sometimes it's very difficult. Most of you know that I had a child that died when he was 1 year old. And the first... Well, see, I believed he was going to be a preacher. I really did. I believed that. The 8 months he was sick, I believed with all my heart God was going to heal him and he was going to be a preacher. I almost knew that. I was confident of that. Listen, brethren, when he died, there were 2 or 3 minutes... that I went all to pieces. And I just couldn't understand anything. It was completely contrary to what I thought God was going to do. I'd watched people pray. I'd watched God perform miracle after miracle in his life. And I just knew he was going to live. But when he died, I did not understand it. And I don't understand it now. But I know this, brethren. My God does not make a mistake. Never has and never will. And I know that I am not to question that. In fact, brethren, if God were to take all of my children and all of my grandchildren, I pray that God would give me the grace and the wisdom to say what Job said when he lost all of his possessions and he lost all 10 of his children. I pray that God would help me to say and help you to say what Job did when he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Did that take a tremendous amount of faith in God for Job to say that? Indeed it did. Do you think Job realized what a weak man he was? Yes, he did. Do you think Job also realized what a great God he served? Yes, he understood to some degree how great God was. And he could say like Eli the priest did, "It is the Lord." You remember when the servant of God came to Eli the priest and told Eli that because you have failed to discipline your children because they're so ungodly, I'm going to take those children's lives. Do you remember what Eli the priest said? He said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seeth good in his sight." Whatever the Lord says, whatever the Lord does, it's always right. Now, I'm not saying that's easy to believe. Well, it's kind of easy to believe, but it's hard not to question it. Difficult not to question God. But I believe the more you grow in grace and the more you grow in knowledge and understanding of how great God is and the more you realize what weak, frail creatures we are, I believe the more you'll be able to say, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good in his sight." You remember what Nebuchadnezzar said. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, had all kinds of power. As far as men on this earth, Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in his day. He was more powerful than any other men on the face of this earth. And he began to boast about what a great man he was. And he talked about what a great kingdom, he says, "which I have built by my power and my might." You know what God did? God said to him in this hour, on this day, the kingdom is taken away from you. And Nebuchadnezzar was brought down and lived like an animal for about 7 years, if I understand what the scripture is saying there. For 7 years he lived like an animal, and his hairs grew out like eagle's feathers, and his fingernails grew out like claws, and he looked like a wild animal. God brought him down to nothing. You know why? It's because he was proud and it exalted himself to think he was as great as any man could be. Listen, brethren, after God brought him down to nothing, do you know what Nebuchadnezzar finally said? He said, I want you to listen carefully. This is in Daniel 4, verse 35. Daniel said this. Listen carefully. Not Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. You hear that? What did Nebuchadnezzar finally understand about himself? And about all other men. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And God doeth according to his will. In the army of heaven, can the army of heaven stop God or slow down God? Not at all. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" You hear what Nebuchadnezzar said there? You can't stop God, and you questioning God is just going to get you in trouble. None can say unto him, none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" Nay, but O man, who art... What does Romans 9:20 say? O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you? Can't you just hear a parent saying to the child, "Who are you to talk back to me?" Can't you imagine Walker talking back to his daddy? I'll tell you, I put it down in writing. I know what would happen if Walker talked back to his daddy. Do you know what will happen to you, Walker, if you talk back to your daddy? What will happen?
He'll be a spanking.
That's right. You know why? Because he's learned that. Do you know why he's learned that? Because he's gotten spankings. He has learned you don't talk back to your mom and daddy. And brethren, God's children, the people of God, when we start questioning God and arguing with God and replying against God because of things that happen in our lives, I want us to know that we are headed for a spanking. The Bible says, whom the Lord... So many people misunderstand God. So many people think God's a little old man up there that just wants to do all kinds of things, but he can't unless you let him. That's not the God of the Bible. God is sovereign. God does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God does as he pleases, and what he does is right, and what he does is good. Whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. What does that mean, chasten? I asked somebody that the other day. I was trying to teach them about love and discipline being inseparable. And I said, you know, the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And I saw a question mark come up on his face. And he said, I said, do you know what chasten means? He said, God chases them around. I said, no, that's not what chasten means. Chasten means that you, like Walker said, spank. That you punish. That you carry out discipline. And let me say this, brethren. I believe the more you grow as a Christian, the more you can say, not my will, but thine be done. One of the things that causes my heart to rejoice more than anything else, one of the greatest evidences of maturity, of Christian maturity, of spiritual maturity, is when children of God are having things happen in their lives that they don't know why. And they're things that are hurting very badly. They don't understand, but they still trust in God. They still don't question God. I'll tell you, brethren, it's a privilege to be around brothers and sisters in Christ that have bad things that happen, things that hurt, and they still don't question God. You know what Job said in Job 13:15, after he'd lost all of those possessions and his children and had lost his health and had boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet? Job 13:15, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Isn't that wonderful? To think, God, you can take away my possessions. You can take away my children. My wife can say, curse God and die. You can bring boils all over my body. And I will still say, you're wise. You're sovereign. And you never make a mistake. And you know what happened in the end of the book of Job? The Bible says in the end of the book of Job that Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Job grew in his understanding of God. I'm telling you, Job had a lot of understanding in the book in the beginning of the book of Job. We find Job had a lot of understanding there, but he had much more understanding when you get to the end of the book of Job. And finally, in the book of Job, in the very end, one of the last things that said is that God gave Job twice as much as he had before. I'll tell you, brethren, I can't promise you twice as much as you had before, but I can tell you that if you will trust in God and obey God, God will bless your life. He'll give you everything you need. I can promise you that. Our God, what was that song we sang that none of us, that I didn't know? Our God what?
Reigns.
Our God reigns. Who said that? Our God reigns. Isn't that good? I thought about that while I was singing. I thought, well, the Spirit of the Lord blessed whoever called on that song to be sung to just lay it out. Our God reigns. Aren't you glad we have a God that does reign?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that, you know, here's what Isaiah says by inspiration of God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, Isaiah says, God says, through Isaiah, God says, my ways are not your ways. And your ways are not my ways. And your thoughts are not my thoughts. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now what does that tell you? Everything about God is different than me. Did you know that? He doesn't think like I think. He doesn't act like I think. His ways are different than my ways. If I try to pick out my way in life, if I try to decide what I'm going to do, I make mistakes. But when I follow what God tells me to do, I'll always find God leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'll always find that wherever He leads, if I'll follow, I'll always be blessed in doing what God tells me to do. Do you remember anybody in the Bible that did argue with God? Just name anybody that you know of that argued with God.
Jonah.
All right, now, we have two different ways of arguing with God. Listen carefully. Brother Neil brought out a way different. Normally, when you think about somebody arguing with somebody, you think of what kind of arguing, brother? Verbal arguing, don't you? That's usually what I think about is if somebody's going to argue with me, I expect them to verbalize something, to say something. And that's the way we usually argue with God. But sometimes we argue with God in other ways, don't we? Sometimes we argue with God by just running away from God, doing different than what God tells us to do. God told Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. What did he do? He arose and fled to Tarshish. Was he arguing with God? He didn't verbally say anything, but he was arguing with God. He was replying against God. He was going against what God told him to do. And when he did that, the Word of God says that Jonah cried from the belly of hell. Did he die and go to hell? No, he didn't die and go to hell. Was he in a hell while he lived here on this earth? You know, a lot of God's children are in a living hell today because they have argued with God. You can't argue with God and win. You can't fight God and win. You can't go against God's way and win. Just obey God. Submit to God. What was the first thing we looked at last Sunday? The four things that we're to do for God to bless in the three ways from 2 Chronicles 7:14. What's the first thing? If my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about God's children humbling themselves. We're talking about God's children just acknowledging how great God is and how weak we are. But I don't understand everything, but I'm not going to question God because I know that whatever God does is right and good. Jonah was called on the second time, arise and go to Nineveh. This is after he'd been to hell. And God, the Word of God says that Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Now, were there good things that came out of him obeying God? Yes. Nineveh repented. And they were saved from the destruction because Jonah obeyed God. Did Moses reply against God and argue with God when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? Did Moses think he could do what God was calling him to do? Did Moses argue with God? Say, here's what he said. He said, I'm a man of slow speech. It's like God didn't know, you know. I'm a man of slow speech and I just can't talk real good and I can't be the leader of the children of Israel. You know what God, the first thing God said was, who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? Who hath made you? I made you. I'm the one that gave you that slow speech. Is there a reason for God doing everything he does? I believe in John chapter 5, there was a man that was born blind. You remember? He was born blind. Did people argue about what caused that? You think maybe his mom and daddy argued and wondered about what caused that? You think they were probably all wrong? You think the apostles were even wrong? They were all wrong. The mom was wrong, the daddy was wrong, the apostles were wrong, and everybody else was trying to figure it out. They were all wrong. You know why? Because we don't think like God thinks. The apostles came to Jesus and said, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the glory of God would be manifest. Was there a higher plan? Was there a higher order? Was there something going on that no human being understood? Absolutely. Our God reigns. He rules. He does what's right. He does what's good in every single way. If you died today, do you think I would cry? Wendell, if you died today, Wendell Sr., you know I would if little Wendell died. Little Wendell Sr., you think if you died today I'd cry?
Probably.
Absolutely. My mind would go all the way back to when you were about 15 years old. And I came here and was your pastor. My mind would go back and it would just reflect and I would cry and I would weep. Would I understand why he would die when he's got four little children to take care of? No, I wouldn't understand it. I'll tell you one thing I don't think I would do. I hope I wouldn't do. That is, I hope I wouldn't reply against God. I wouldn't argue with God. I would know that even though I don't understand why it happened, I know God had a purpose in it all. Did Eve or the devil, depending on how you look at it in Genesis chapter 3, the beginning of the creation, in the Garden of Eden, did they argue with God back there? You remember how the devil came to Eve and said, Hath God said? You remember that? Hath God said? You know what causes us to begin to question God and reply against God? We doubt what God said. If you ever doubt what God said, let me tell you something, brethren. There are a lot of God's children today that doubt the creation of this world was by God. There are a lot of children of God today that do not believe that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There are a lot of God's children today that do not believe in the 6 days of creation. Do you know why they don't believe that? You know why they want to argue with God? They don't believe what God's Word says. The theory of evolution will not harmonize with the Word of God. This idea that God did it, but He did it over millions of years, that will not harmonize with the Word of God. God created this world in 6 days. God spoke it into existence. Boom, boom, boom. In one day, He did. That was a 24-hour period, the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning was, who did such a thing as that? Our God. I rejoice. And I want to say this. I want to say that I very seldom hear any of you reply against God. But I want to say also that any one of you is subject. Any one of you might. I might reply against God. When you ever hear me argue with God, when you ever hear me question God, I pray that you would remind me of what God's Word says. Old man, little puny man, who art thou that repliest against God? May God help us, is my prayer for Christ.